And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, sponsored by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will here with you on this Friday morning. We got the full house today here on the show, and today's a big day. We're going to get a lot into the Vols from last night, but it's an even bigger day for intern Will, who will be getting married this weekend. So, Will, congratulations. We appreciate you being here with us today before your marriage. And we'll tease you about that all show long today. So enjoy that.
Sounds good to me.
That's what we do here. Joe,
I'm ready for it to happen. I'm excited, but I'm sure more so, I will say it's almost just a sigh of relief. all the planning and everything is finally coming to the end.
That's
not
right.
That I did a whole lot, more so for my soon-to-be wife.
That's right.
Yeah, well, excited nonetheless.
Congratulations, buddy. We're very happy for you here on the show. Joe Rex Road.
Yeah, Will.
How are we doing?
Good. So was it rehearsal dinner tonight then?
Actually, since it's Labor Day weekend, we're doing a Sunday wedding.
There you go.
So rehearsal dinner will be tomorrow night.
There you go.
Okay. All right, man. Did you write vows?
Did you write vows? We did not. We're just letting the officiant take care of that.
There you go.
That's after him.
That's right. There you go. Well, congratulations.
Good for you.
Very, very well done. Looking forward to that. To a very successful wedding weekend for intern Will. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
I'm okay. How's the lighting in the hotel room here?
Good? Looks good. Yeah.
Got enough light.
Looks real good.
Yeah. Good. Late night with the Vols last night. Late night with the Vols.
Was it late night? That is for sure.
It was interesting.
It was interesting is a good way to put it. A 38-6 win for Tennessee in Josh Heupel's first game. So Tennessee, from a margin of victory standpoint, I guess right around where Las Vegas thought they were going to be. I thought the 34.5 was a little bit too much, and I may have made some action on that on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and it turns out it was for Tennessee. So felt good about that to begin the season. Look, Joe, we'll get into a little bit more of the Joe Milton conversation coming up in the next segment, because I think that's probably the number one talking point from last night's game, and we're going to get hot and heavy into that. Let's start with, I guess, some of the positives in the game. It's 38-6, so Tennessee's not really in a position where you can ever really complain about a 32-point margin of victory. So it was important to get the win, obviously, and look, it became apparent very on that Bowling Green, they're awful. And that was one of the worst college football teams that I think I've ever watched. They are that bad. They are really, really bad. But Tennessee ran the ball extremely well. I don't think that's a huge surprise. They put up 326 yards of rushing. Joe, if you couldn't run the ball well against this team, it was going to be tough sledding for the rest of the year.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was a 326-36 edge on the ground in this game. I'm with you. I think that honestly, when Tennessee plays Tennessee Tech in South Alabama, I think Tennessee might see more resistance than Bowling Green gave them. And the thing is, Bowling Green actually strung together a few stops in a row before Tennessee said, okay, well, we'll just run the ball at them and, you know, dominate them up front. It's just a very tough game to take a whole bunch out of, I think. I think that the big thing, and we talked about this yesterday, you wanted to see excellent, you know, timing and efficiency and production in the passing game, which after the first two drives, I was like, geez, they're going to, you know, they can get to 70 if they want. And, you know, Joe Milton's going to throw for about 400, boy, did that change quickly. I will say, though, to your point on the running, both running backs, I thought looked good. And just, again, even with the upfront domination, some really impressive runs and cuts and speed to the edge. I mean, I do like the two backs. They're kind of similar, but they're both good.
Yeah, they are. And look, I thought both of them hit the hole with confidence. There wasn't a whole lot of hesitation there. From either Tyon Evans or Jabari Small. They both end up with 116 yards rushing on the ground in the game. So you feel good about that 1-2 punch if you're Tennessee. And look, we've talked to people all week that feel pretty good about this running back room, even with Eric Gray out. And 326 yards on the ground. Of course, Joe Milton was a part of that as well with two rushing touchdowns last night. I think you feel good about that moving forward. I thought the defense looked pretty good and dominated in a way that you thought. I mean, they had their moments in the second quarter where it got a little hairy and Bowling Green was able to put some drives together. Apparently, Bowling Green's got a very good field goal kicker, so we learned that last night as well. But all in all, I thought defensively they played pretty well. I mean, they're just, you know, physically so much more equipped than Bowling Green's line was, where Tennessee just totally controlled the line of scrimmage on that side of the ball for most of the night.
Yeah, and again, that's just where, how much can you take out of that moving forward? You better dominate that team up front. I will say specifically a couple guys we actually talked about yesterday. You know, Elijah Simmons, you definitely noticed him on some plays, active. I think he's an intriguing player this year. And then Tyler Barron had some great pass rush reps. Another guy we talked about that we're looking forward to seeing that we didn't see was Byron Young,
yep,
which is really interesting. And Josh Heupel talked about him after the game. I mean, basically, it's the transfer. And this is so weird when this happens. Like right before the opening game, you know, there's like an issue with the eligibility and the transferring in. So Heupel made it seem like, you know, it's basically a red tape thing that they hope that they can figure out, you know, by next week. They could use him. It would be, you know, against a team like Pittsburgh or just, you know, any of these better teams are going to play. Add what he's supposed to be to Barron, and that's some pass rush potential.
Yep, I thought Theo Jackson played really well last night in the secondary. Elante Taylor played well. I mean, there was never really a time, you know, other than a couple of drives in the second quarter where, you know, they hit on a couple of wheel routes. There's really never a time other than that where Tennessee felt all that threatened against Bowling Green in the game, especially while they were on the defensive side of the ball. But it got a little sloppy for the Vols on offense in the second quarter. I was with you. They came out on the first two drives, and I was like, well, Tennessee, that minus 34 and a half is going to look pretty good by halftime if you're Tennessee at that point. And then things started to stall after that. And, Joe, it really kind of began with taking some deep shots down the field. Number one, I thought with a couple exceptions in the game, I mean, Joe Milton had all day to throw back there, and he just missed on some receive. I mean, he had Cedric Tillman down the field twice that he missed. Jalen Hyatt, for as gifted as he is, had a couple of big drops in the game as well. They didn't quite involve as many receivers as I thought they would in the game. And I'll be honest, I came away from last night's game extremely disappointed with the passing game. I thought the passing game was poor last night from the Tennessee team. And, you know, look, it's not like the plays weren't there. Again, it's a 32-point margin of victory, so it's hard to nitpick too much. But I felt like they left some plays on the field last night offensively. And, you know, Jordan Rodgers was talking about this on the broadcast. There were a lot of times when you were able to actually see a replay on the broadcast, because Josh Heupel and Tennessee and company were going about every 3 seconds snapping the ball, which we'll talk about that a little bit more coming up as well. But Joe Milton was just missing some guys in his reads down the field, not only missing with the ball, but missing some wide open receivers as well. So all in all, Joe, I got to say, I was not impressed with Tennessee's passing game last night.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, it's I will say that in sitting next to David Ubbin last night, we'll have David on later. I mean, he made a good point. You know, Bowling, it's a little weird. You would have figured at some point that Bowling Green would have sold out a little bit more against the run. They really didn't bring the extra hat in like maybe you would have expected. So, I mean, the game plan for them was, you know, like, we're not going to let them tear us up in the passing game. That said, there were still plays to be made. There were receivers to hit. And it just really got clunky and stagnated after those first two drives. The first two drives, they went super fast. And it was a lot of it was scripted.
Sure.
But it was a lot of quick stuff. And then, you know, you're hitting the screen, you're hitting the screen. Now you're setting up the – the hitch and go, which actually, you know, that drew a holding. I think they drew another piece. So those stats, which are certainly not great, You know, you have to take that into account too. And look, you're gonna miss some bombs. That's gonna happen. But you know, like talking to Steve Lehman on the field last night, you know, it's like, well, when you play good teams, like, you got to hit that pass. But I think the bigger question, you know, I guess concern to me is just, you know, sometimes getting the ball out and just seeing something quickly and getting it there.
Yep.
I just felt like Joe Milton held the ball and at times, you know, just sort of saw the rush rather than staying in there, hanging in there, get the ball on the field. Also, to your point, I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback just stand like that.
No. I mean, he was calling out routes standing in the pocket with his hand. He was like pointing down the field, telling his receivers where to go.
I don't know how good Pittsburgh is, but let me promise you something. That will not happen this week. one thing Pat Narduzzi absolutely will, he will go down, he'll give up 60 points, but he will blitz the quarterback. He will bring pressure all day. That's what he's done his entire career. And it's just about to get very different. But yeah, like there's having a clean pocket, and then there's just sort of like literally flat-footed, looking around. Yeah, it's a weird game. I mean, I think you saw like the arm talent is spectacular, but again, arm talent also means like the touch and, you know, and being able to take a little bit off that fastball sometimes so that you can, you know, complete passes.
Well, I mean, yeah, I tweeted this out last night. I mean, about the second or third throw of the game by Milton, I was like, all right, he could probably stand on the 50-yard line and literally throw it out of the stadium. I mean, that guy's got an unbelievable arm. Now, how can you harness that and actually effectively play the quarterback position? Because that was not winning quarterback play last night as Tennessee moves forward here, and that's going to be something they're going to have to figure out. We'll continue the discussion on Joe Milton and the quarterback position for Tennessee coming up next. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What stood out to you last night in Tennessee's win against Bowling Green? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Vols, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, discussing Joe Milton and the offense's performance last night in a 38-6 win for the Vols against Bowling Green. And Joe Milton finishes 11 of 23 on the night, 140 yards and a touchdown. Now, the good news is, at least from an interception standpoint, he did not turn the ball over. Did have a fumble that he turned the ball over on. And to his, to be fair, had a couple of drops in the game as well. He hit Jalen Hyatt on, I think, a kind of a crossing route over the middle. It was behind him a little bit, but Hyatt, a ball he should catch. And then down in the red zone, absolutely a ball that Jalen Hyatt should catch that hit him right between the ones. So it wasn't all on Joe Milton last night in terms of the lack of production in the passing game, but he did miss some throws, and it was interesting. Like, the arm talent, you can see why physically people are enamored with Joe Milton. I mean, he's huge. He can move really well, and he can just launch the ball. I mean, he's got arm talent in terms of his ability to launch the ball down the field that I don't know that I've ever seen from a Tennessee quarterback. I mean, he can absolutely chuck the ball down the field. The touch was not quite there for Joe Milton last night. And that's going to be kind of the main talking point today, is the throws that Joe Milton missed. But I think I came away from last night's game, Joe, more concerned about the reads that Joe Milton missed. And I think both are fixable, both are coachable, and you're going to see probably a lot of people freak out today about the quarterback play. It's week one. There is time to grow and improve throughout the season. They're going to have to if they're going to beat Pittsburgh next week. But to your point, Pittsburgh's going to bring the pressure. There's going to be blitzes involved, and there's going to be plays where you're going to have to go from your first read to your second read to your third read pretty quickly. And I didn't think Joe Milton did a very good job of that last night.
By the way, I'm looking at your Twitter account because you said that you tweeted that he could throw it out the 50-yard line. I swear, unless this was a subconscious thing, I did not plagiarize you. I would like to make that clear. Because I wrote in my column today that he could stand at the 50 and get it over the Tennessee River.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
Either I subconsciously plagiarize you, or it's just we were like starting to share the same brain.
Maybe so. That's a scary thought. Which is
very scary. Maybe it's good to have some separation today. So here's the thing on the reads. I agree with you. Now, early, that's one of the things I liked. On those first two drives, there were a few plays where the first thing was taken away. Yep. He extended the play rolling, and he went through the progressions. And, and in a couple of cases, it just threw seeds, to his receivers. And I was like, okay, see, not just like the big arm, but he's seeing the field. He's going through the reads. He's going to – I mean, I think on one of them, it must have been at least his third read, and I forget who he threw it to, but it was impressive. I mean, I liked everything about those first two drives. Yes, a lot of it, scripted, but he still improvised and did so well. But I agree, like, there's just some – so, first of all, I think it's obvious, and I actually meant to ask him this last night and didn't get it in, but it seems obvious that he and Tillman must have some kind of a connection because, man, like, Tillman is – like the last guy of this receiving corps that you would think of like on the post, right? Like there are faster guys. Tillman's big physical guy, but clearly he and Milton must have a connection. And obviously they got the TD late, which was a good, Milton just kind of threw that one up and Tillman came back and got it. It was a good play. But like there was a play where Milton threw to a double Tillman and man, he had Hyatt just alone.
Yep.
For a big play, and there's just some and look, I mean, Heupel, I will say I was a little surprised. Heupel didn't, he cut right to the chase, like the reads, the throw, the action, like it has to be better. Rather than I thought maybe it'd be like, yeah, we'll look at the film and everything, there's a lot to like and we'll see, but he saw it from the sideline, like this has got to get better. So, I think that if you're a Tennessee fan freaking out right now, what I would say is it is a weird game, a strange opponent. And I think sometimes it might even mess you up when the clock in your head doesn't have to go off. It's like boom, 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 get it out. And it's like, do, which is basically what it was. It could make for like kind of a weird, disjointed kind of game. But this is also, Robbie, this is exactly what we've talked about. What was it at Michigan? What was he at Michigan? What is he now? Is this a big break for Tennessee? And are these Tennessee coaches going to take this massive amount of talent and mold it into something that is efficient in this offense? Do they find things in this offense that work for him? I mean, there's a lot on them here to get more out of him and get better efficiency out of him.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And, the issues we saw last night are correctable as you move forward. It's just, the teams that you're going to be playing, it's a big step up in confidence. I mean, that Bowling Green's defense was atrocious. I mean, they're just not good. And to only have 140 yards of passing offense if you're Joe Milton against that team, I think it's concerning. I saw Austin Stanley last night of A to Z Sports tweet this out, and I agree. Like, eventually in the second half, Tennessee just decided, you know what, we're going to run the ball, and it worked, and they scored, and that's great. I mean, you do what works in the game, and I understand that. But running the ball all over the place against Bowling Green doesn't really mean much to me. I mean, they gave up over 300 yards a game on the ground last year. So you ought to be able to run the ball against Bowling Green. And to Joe Milton's credit, when he put it down and he ran, I think you can see some of the ability that he brings to the table. I mean, that last touchdown run he had, that was like a Derrick Henry-esque stiff arm that he threw out there. It was a nice play by Joe Milton there. But the passing offense, there's some work to do on that front. And I thought they would be more explosive than they ended up being. Tim on YouTube says, if you need Joe Milton to throw it 40 yards, he can throw it 40 yards. If you need him to throw it 30 yards, he'll still throw it 40 yards just with a flick of his wrist. That was the weird thing last night on some of those deep balls. And Jordan Rodgers talked about this on the broadcast too. It looked like he was just barely throwing it, and there would be just a laser 50 yards down the field.
No, I mean the early one where he overshot Tillman, I think it was about 65 yards in the air, and I swear he didn't put anything into the throw. It's like, bing. Look, I understand why any coach would be like, whoa. I mean, he can just do things that other players just flat out can't do. I mean, if Joe Milton's a quarterback all year for Tennessee, there's going to be a lot of spectacular. But what you have to have is a lot more of the easy, simple gimmies. You got to get the ball out quicker. And on the run game, I agree. When he gets going, he's tough to bring down. But this was also a criticism of him at Michigan, and I think you saw it last night. He's a little bit late to decide sometimes to run. Now, it's interesting because a lot of times you think of quarterbacks and you say, well, hang in there, make throws, which I agree. Like, that needs to be better too. But there were some times where it had broken down, and I thought that he needed to go earlier. I thought the quarterback design run stuff last night was good, and I think that should be a part of this offense. I think that can be effective, but he does need a little bit to get started, which it shouldn't be that big of a surprise. The guy's 6'5", 245, And that's where he got caught by the rush a couple times where, he didn't have quick feet getting out of it. So it's just a really interesting skill set. We had somebody on the text line, Robbie, yesterday who got really mad because I was talking about Michigan State, which I thought was hilarious. Oh, yeah. I gotta remember to talk about Michigan State more. But I will right here. I always make this comparison because this guy is not that talented. I saw way more talented people than this guy, and there are way more talented people than him in the NFL. But the thing about Kirk Cousins was he did the simple. He saw it, boom, he anticipated the throw, and he was accurate, quick. And that is more valuable as a quarterback than it is to be able to throw the ball 100 yards. It just is. So Joe Milton has got to work on that, and they've got to do a better job too of getting him ready for that, because it's just going to look like a totally different game this week. Next week.
That's right. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, when do we move to a time when a 35-point win is not acceptable? Yes, the team still has things to work on, but at the end of the season, is anyone going to look back and say this was nothing but a win? If Alabama only won by 21 in their first game, would you be as critical? Just as a point of reference, as well as I'm not a Tennessee fan. Well, okay. Look, I hear what you're saying. 32 points, that's an impressive margin of victory. And if you're a Tennessee fan, based on where this program is, yes, you'll take that. I think the larger issue is we knew Tennessee was going to beat Bowling Green. Bowling Green is awful. They are a terrible football team. If the offense plays last night from a passing game standpoint like they play against Pittsburgh, they're not going to win. So you've got to fix that as you move forward here.
Yeah. I mean, you have to keep it in context. Yes, 32-point win. Bowling Green is – they've got a chance to be absolutely one of the worst teams in college football this year. Make no mistake about it. Like,
just, they're terrible.
Yeah, and look, Scott Loeffler, I mean, I think it's year three. Well, I think he's 3-15. It's not working out well. And really, my brother-in-law is a Bowling Green grad, very upset right now. They've had a lot of success over the years.
Yeah.
You should never be this bad at Bowling Green, but they are. They're bad. So, you can talk about 32-point win. And, again, there were some players who played well. You just are not – you cannot count on doing that up front to anyone. But, again, Tennessee Tech, South Alabama, and I'm probably not even that bad against them. So you have to – do the throw game stuff way better. And again, that's supposed to be what Josh Heupel and his staff brings. And it's got to be much better to beat anybody credible.
We'll continue the conversation on the Vols when we come back. Take more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook, and they're hooking new users up with 30-1 odds for the first big college football game of the season. You can pick either Georgia or Clemson to win, and you can turn a $5 bet into a $150 payday. I've been on the Georgia train all week. I really like JT Daniels. I think the Dogs are going to get it done against Dabo and Clemson, but you take it any way you want to take it. Sign up and make your first deposit to kick off the college football season on America's number one sportsbook, and there's no better place to bet college football than on FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, and you get paid in as little as 24 hours. So make the most out of college football this week with enhanced 30-1 odds on Georgia versus Clemson. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using promo code ROB so they know that we sent you. That promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wagering designated offer market. A $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tonight as Nashville SC takes on New York City at Nissan Stadium. Pre-game starts at 6:15 and the match begins at 6:30. Welcome back in, Robbie in Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Talking Vols, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And we got a lot of thoughts to get to, so we'll roll through them. CD texting in on the text line. I was already pretty down on this team, but seeing them struggle to push the ball down the field just confirms this will be another long, miserable season for UT. This team has seriously tested my fandom the last few years. Joe Rexro, that didn't take very long.
We got the whole spectrum. We got, how could you not be happy with a blowout win and out this scrap the season? I would say, you know, come in somewhere in the middle there. It was it's not like we've never seen a college football team or pro football team, for that matter, look real clunky offensively early in a season and figure some things out. I mean, it's not hopeless. If I were Josh Apple right now, I would be sticking with Joe Milton.
Yep.
I would be pouring everything into Joe Milton, and I'd be trying to unlock, you know, solve the riddle of, okay, this is some stuff that like few people can do. What can we do to get the best out of him? And also be watching a lot of Pittsburgh film, because, man, they will bring it. They're going to bring the heat next week.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texting in, I'd rather see Bailey so we can run and pass. Milton is an athlete, but I don't care. SEC defenses can stop him easier if we're too one-dimensional. Or anyone that can throw better if not Bailey. Milton won't satisfy anyone. I can tell why Michigan let him go. So Ben out on Joe Milton.
Scrap the season, scrap the quarterback.
Oh.
Yeah, look, hey, I think if you're realistically looking at that game, it was disappointing.
Sure.
Joe Milton was disappointing, without question. And, you know, it's interesting because I think if there's one thing that was different from, like, the last half of last year against Michigan, obviously the thumb, which no one knew about at the time, limits your ability to make some of those just blistering throws probably, right? I mean, look, you can make up for a lot of mistakes when you can throw the ball like that at the last minute and still fit it into a place. But you've got to, you got to anticipate throws better. And again, I just think that a lot of the things that were talked about when people didn't know about the thumb last year showed up again last night. And that's disappointing.
Yeah. Chris texting in, imagine Milton playing basketball. He'd never score. Laser beam line drive shots will never go in the hoop. He's got to learn to drop it in the bucket and let the receiver go get the ball. Amazing arm talent, though. I will say, and I know that Hyatt had a couple of drops last night, but they never really tried the straight-up vertical route with Hyatt last night. And, you know, Tillman's a good player, but Tillman's not as fast as Jalen Hyatt. I do wonder if Hyatt could have got under a couple of those.
Yeah, again, like of all people that you would have thought to be involved in plays like that, Tillman would not have been my first pick or probably my third pick. So I will say, too, the second drop by Hyatt, like that was a hell of a throw.
Oh, yeah.
That was, you know, perfect. And that was a great job of quickly seeing it. He threw him open. It was right there. I thought exactly the right velocity you wanted, and, you know, Hyatt's got to come up with that. Hyatt still had some plays, but got to come up with that one.
So towards the end of the game, and we thought we would see multiple quarterbacks last night, thought there's a chance we could see all three quarterbacks last night. Towards the end of the game, finally, Hendon Hooker was inserted into the game as, I guess, the second-string quarterback last night. Did you read anything into that? Do you think Hendon Hooker is the number two quarterback moving forward? How do you go about reading something like that last night if you're Harrison Bailey?
Well, based on the spring, too, I think Hooker's the number two. I mean, based on the spring, Hooker was better than Bailey in the spring. I think anybody would evaluate it that way. I think the coaches clearly did. And, I mean, I don't know why they would put the three in at that point instead of the two. So, yeah, I think it's Hooker is next. I think if Milton falters, that's who comes in. And, you know, Hooker could be the better option. I mean, I'd keep the mind open on all this stuff. I think Bailey is third. I know, again, I don't think that Bailey's a bad player. I think there's a lot of potential there. But I'm not all that surprised by that. I think, you know, Hooker's been in a similar offense. And I think what I've seen from him is he may be a little better at getting the ball out quick. Again, he does not have the tools that Joe Milton has. But who knows? I mean, he could end up being a better option. I think last night, Robbie, they would have gone to him and maybe Bailey too, but at least him for some actual series.
Yep.
If Milton had played better and they didn't, like, to me, it was just like, God, you got to get him out there again and like work on stuff. Now they were still running the ball a lot, but like I just feel like the way it went was you got to get him as many reps as you can get him right now. Versus had the first two drives turned into like five or six drives like that, then I think that they probably get a Hooker in there to actually work with the offense.
Yeah, I'd say you're probably right about that. It was interesting, though, the pace last night and the speed at which Josh Heupel and this offense want to play with. I mean, it looked totally different than what we were used to under Jeremy Pruitt and Jim Chaney. Tennessee runs 88 plays last night, and you mentioned the first two drives, I mean, they were at warp speed last night for Tennessee. And, you know, it's interesting. They get the ball whenever they're down. They get run immediately to the umpire. They throw it to the umpire. The ball's spotted, and there they are again going. I mean, even last night when Hendon Hooker came into the game and there was 2 minutes left, they're still going like 1,000 miles an hour offensively. What did you think of that style of play? Obviously, it's going to be something they continue to work on as they go through the season here. And do you think that can translate – playing at that speed at the SEC level?
Well, I think they have to. I mean, I think that's a big advantage that they have to have. You know, they've got to catch defenses a little bit late reacting to things. They got to catch defenses unable to substitute. You know, when Tennessee goes in these drives, it's like, you're the running back on this drive. You're the running back on this drive. You're the receivers on this drive. You know, they don't sub and they want to go super fast. And I actually was really impressed. Someone in the press box was like, gosh, are you sure you want to do this for this game? But, you know, like save this stuff but to me, it's like, you have to be able to do it and you have to work on it against real competition. And honestly, when you think about no false starts, I don't believe no false starts, no illegal formations, you know, with a receiver not lining up. I mean, I thought operationally it was pretty impressive to come out and execute the offense like this. It was just that the actual passing and catching wasn't there. But I like the tempo, and I think they've done a good job of getting these guys to play that way. I also think, by the way, that, you know, Cooper Mays was a big loss early. And I think early after he went out, you could see the difference. I ended up figuring it out. And again, they were going to blow that team off the ball no matter what. But I think protection wise, that hurt them. It sounds like he is okay, according to Heupel. They need him next week if they can get him back. That did not look good getting rolled up on. It's like the offensive lineman's nightmare.
Yeah, looked bad on that play. It was good to see him be able to kind of recover from that. But I will say, I mean, you know, and I think we knew this, it's important for those five guys on the line to stay as healthy as possible this year. Look, it's a 12-game season. Somebody on that line is going to get hurt at some point. I mean, we know this. That's how college football works. But, you know, those five guys, those are the best five they've got, and it's important to keep them as healthy as possible. And look, I mean, I thought, you know, when you've got a guy like Joe Milton back there, who can run, and we saw that last night. Sometimes when you're going at the speed that they were going at last night, that's a lot to ask when you're asking to be blocking all over the field. Your quarterback's running out of the pocket. You're trying to block that way. Then you're running up to the line trying to snap the ball 3 seconds later. I mean, it's going to require some depth that eventually gets built at that offensive line position because, I mean, it's just physics. You're not going to be able to run that much as an offensive lineman all year and not have to come out every now and then. But I think it's pretty important for those five to stay healthy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Dane Davis is, you know, someone you feel like maybe in a pinch he could come in and help. Calvert did not play last night, so there's a guy who's played some football, and I don't know, you know, what his status is coming back, but no doubt. I mean, that starting five, and I think that starting five could be a pretty good line. I mean, I think that again, I've always thought Darnell Wright has the ability. I mean, he was a five-star recruit for a reason, and I thought, for the most part, he did have one holding that killed, I think, the third or fourth drive with the holding penalty. But I thought he looked good. It's just, and they're going to see much better defenses ahead. I think they've got something there, but you're right. Like that spot. And then of course, you know, inside linebacker, you cannot have injuries, Tennessee.
Especially at the linebacker spot. Good Lord. Can you imagine if they did? When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Vols, including why there was one part of last night's game that left me really encouraged for Tennessee as they move forward here. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Daddy's going to like that rear end up when you get home and you're waiting for him to get home from work.
That's right.
And it's kind of like, and you're real anxious, kind of like, you kind of dreading it happening. That's the way I feel right now. But don't get me wrong. You know, the moment I hear Rocky Top and I see the tee open up, I'll get goosebumps and get a little teary-eyed.
That was our good friend Big Orange Mac from yesterday here on the program, who it was interesting to follow his Twitter account along last night. He got pretty excited early on Joe Rex Road and then started to fade as the game went on a little bit.
So in the end, Big Orange Mac reverted back to childhood and getting the butt bloodied by the switch.
That's right.
Watching Tennessee football.
That's right.
I can't follow Twitter too well. So he didn't tweet anything inappropriate, did he?
No, I don't think so. I didn't see it if he did.
Okay, good. Just kept stick to football, Big Orange Mac.
That's right. Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Devin from Dover texting in. These people making excuses for this crappy team are not real Tennessee fans. The 90s and early 2000 teams are where Tennessee should be, not being in the conversation with Vanderbilt, Missouri, and Kentucky, settling for mediocrity, the state of Tennessee sports motto. Devin's upset this morning.
We just can't get any, like, in-between opinions, can we? It's like either, like, I want the natty again now, or come on, that's a huge blowout win. Let's be excited. Yay. I mean, you know, it's a long way from that, Devin. You're right. But, I mean, didn't we know that? Don't we know that if this team goes like 6-6 or 7-5, it's actually pretty good?
Yeah.
I understand that that's sad as a Tennessee fan. But, I mean, if you've been following along closely, that's where things are.
Adam in Portland texting in. What I saw looked like a potentially fun no-huddle offense with players that can't execute it. He'll get them there in a couple of years. Milton reminded me of Vince Young with that flat-footed 60-yard throw and with wildly overthrowing everyone as well. I would say Vince Young had a pretty good arm. Joe Milton's arm's better than Vince Young's. Joe Milton's got a laser.
Yeah, well, and I mean, Vince Young, you know, the thing that Vince Young, he was incredible at escaping pressure and making plays that way, you know, with his arm and his feet, but like, an incredible glider with the football. And that's, you know, with Milton, like you said, you know, like that second touchdown, it's like, man, once he gets going, it cannot be easy to tackle him. But getting going, and I think some of it, again, is just deciding to go.
Yeah.
The word is ponderous to me. Very big, fancy word.
You like that word.
I like the word. I probably use it too much. But I think it fit perfectly last night with some of the – and even almost like confirming a receiver was open. And, again, when you have an arm like that, you can do that more often. You can confirm he's open, and then you get that ball in so fast. But you gotta anticipate both things better.
There was one part of last night's game that I was pretty encouraged about, especially offensively when we got towards the end of the game. And it was apparent that the passing game was going to be a big topic of conversation today. And we've talked a lot about it. The execution was not there. There's going to be a lot they're going to have to work on over this next week or so before Pittsburgh comes to town if they want to win that game. And I think everybody would agree with that. I thought, to your point, the operation was really good. I thought the play calling feel was pretty good too. It felt like Josh Heupel and Alex Golish know what they're doing offensively, which is, as you know, Joe, a massive step in the right direction compared to what we saw this time a year ago offensively for Tennessee. I liked the aggressiveness that they displayed last night. I think that's something we knew was a part of Josh Heupel and his DNA as they came into this season. But you could feel like when they had Bowling Green on their heels running the ball, they stuck with it, and they just kept going and going and going. And obviously they wanted to work on the passing game last night. That became more and more obvious as the game went on and as the score started to separate a little bit. I liked the aggressiveness of Josh Heupel. I think that's the way this team is going to have to play this year. Regardless of what the execution looks like from a talent perspective, they're not at a place where they can just be conservative like we saw all year last year and think you're going to have any shot to win when SEC play comes around. I liked what I saw from a stylistic approach last night by the coaching staff.
Yeah. By the way, that brings up a big fail. And there's there's a whole bunch of people who are at the Tennessee Vols press conferences. Like, you know, Titans press conferences, you probably have 10, 12 people in there asking questions. I mean, you're pushing 30 at these. And none of us asked who called plays last night. They talk about that on the broadcast at all?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, so I guess that's a question for next week. But I agree with you. Now I do think that when they went scripted, you know, beginning of both halves, I mean, it was really good. And obviously, like the first drive of the third quarter was very clearly, you know what? Let's see if they can tackle us one time running the ball. It's 14-6, which is freaking ridiculous. Let's make it 21-6. That's what they did. But I really liked I liked the play calling. I agree. I liked going at that tempo. And I think that that's what they have to lean in on. I mean, they've got to be able to catch defenses, even though defenses in college football are much better equipped for this. This has been copycatted over and over. You know, Heupel goes way back with this scheme. I mean, he's been doing this a long time, and this is what he is what he does. And I operationally, I was impressed. You just have to execute. You know, I think the plays are there to be made, and there will be plays to be made against better teams. It's just that the windows are going to be smaller, and you've got to let it rip right now and not expect that you're going to be able to make a sandwich in the pocket anymore this year.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brandon from Georgia texting in. Joe Milton has all the talent in the world, but for some reason on game day, he just can't put it together. The reason Michigan didn't want him was for that simple thing. He looks great in practice, but not on game day. I say he will lose his job by midseason.
Maybe earlier than that, Brandon.
Could be.
I mean, honestly, like, you know, next week, if he plays like he did when he went, I want to say he missed 9 straight passes over a long period of time.
Yeah.
If he plays like that for a half against Pittsburgh and they're losing, I mean, I think right then he may get swapped out. It's possible. I mean, that's the thing. Joe Milton is QB1, but this is not some huge gap overall, I don't think, between him and the other two guys. So that's the good thing about having QB depth is that you can make it a switch. And I think, I thought Hooker in the spring showed some good things running this offense. So, look, Joe Milton may learn from this film and come out and light Pittsburgh up, and we'll have a totally different discussion, you know, the following week. But I don't know that if he doesn't do that, then I don't think midseason it'll have. I think it'd be earlier than that.
Luke on the text line: fans who are mad the Vols didn't score a touchdown every possession after losing the amount of talent they did are ridiculous. I mean, there's a complete 180-degree difference in play style and outcome last night than the previous 3 years. There is a difference in play style. I mean, look, the outcome, it is what it is. Bowling Green legitimately might be the worst team in college football. They're awful. I mean, I thought that they were a part of their playbook last night was to have an illegal substitution penalty. I mean, it was they had an illegal sub. They had 12 men on the field coming out of a timeout. I don't know that I've ever seen that.
I like that, though. The Hail Mary, try to sneak in that 12th guy.
Yeah. You know?
What the heck?
I was just like, oh, okay. There you go.
No, so, they're awful.
They're
awful.
Terrible. So, look, I get the sentiment from Luke. I really do. Tennessee, look, every win Tennessee can get this year, you'll take if you're a Tennessee fan. I don't think there's any question about that. But, again, it's keeping the bigger picture in mind. I can't prove it, obviously, but – if they played in the passing game the way they played last night against Pittsburgh or against Missouri or against Kentucky, they're losing all those games. They just are. So that is the bigger picture. It has very little, in my opinion, to do with the result last night. It's forecasting where this offense is right now and what that means as they move forward when you're not playing basically a high school football team like they were last night.
Yeah, Ron on the text line says, you know, Milton needs speedy receivers, run under the balls, catch him, and Tennessee's, you know, play to his strength. And, you know, the thing is, I feel like probably the worst situations last night were when it was third and long and you knew they had to throw.
Yeah.
Like, those were, you know, obviously, so you want to keep defenses off balance. Again, I think the QB run element as a design thing, as an intentional thing, has to be a part of the offense against good teams. You have to have that threat and you have to use it. And you want to, you know, you want to get quick access throws for him, but there's just going to be some times where it's third and nine and you have to drop back and you have to see the protections and you have to make a throw into a tight space. And if you can't do that at a much better rate than what last night suggested, then I agree with you. There's going to be some long Saturdays. Also last night doesn't guarantee that that's how it's going to go, but sure. Just there's a massive amount of improvement. You think about what Heupel said last night after the game. I promise you the actual internal evaluation of Milton, the film, is going to be very, you know, very critical and pointed because they know he's got to be much, much better than this.
We'll continue to take your thoughts all show long on the balls on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we will switch gears and get into the Titans. Some more roster moves made yesterday by the Titans, including another player that was released. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.